Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's Denise Salcedo, and today I have a very special guest with me here on this lovely Friday night, February 16th. We got the OG, the old timer, Righteous Reg. Reg, welcome to the show.
Hello, Denise. Thanks for the OG thing again. We're all so excited about it. What's up? It's Friday night. We don't usually hang out on Friday nights, Denise. We hang out on Wednesday nights talking about a different show. But today, we're here. The Rock is here. I had a very funny time at the end of this show, and I have a lot of thoughts, so I'm happy to get into it.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that. I also love that we actually coordinated today without even planning it. We both popped in wearing blue. We both understood the assignment today.
We gangbanging. It's California Connection. We both have to be Crips straight off the thing. I see what's going on here. I understand what it is.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, we got a big show to talk about here today because this is, you know, it kind of, even though it's not like the official go-home show for Elimination Chamber, because that's going to be next week, but because next week's show is going to be taped, it kind of felt like almost like tonight was almost like the go-home show, even though it technically isn't. But you got The Rock, you got Roman Reigns. We had so many qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber that it kind of had that feel to the show. So the big thing, and part of the reason I wanted to make sure to have Reg on the show today, was because we knew going into this that we were going to have an appearance by The Rock, and not just The Rock, but also Roman Reigns. And coming off of how crazy this whole story has been, this whole development going into WrestleMania 40, I'm like, okay, we need to do the show and we need to get into what went down here today. Now, I don't even know where to begin with all of this, Reg. Honestly, like, this story has been so much in just like the last couple of weeks. Like, I don't even know where to begin. But I am going to say this, though. For those of you who are here, for those of you who are in the chat, if you guys want to help support the show, get your questions, comments, or statements. If you know where to begin with all of this, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point, and it really just does help us out a whole lot. I want to thank Sheldon Jackson for gifting us 5 DWO memberships, as always. Without failure, man, Sheldon has our back. That's very, very kind. We also got a very generous super chat to kick us off, and this is from Anthony Cruz, who says, "You gave us more Kelly Connection. Love you guys." Hey, man, whenever I can get Reg on the show, I book him on the show. I tried booking you, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, Reg, and you were like, "No, I got plans." And I was like, "I know exactly what that means. Plans on a Friday night. I know what Reg is doing. I know what Reg is doing."
I was in a compromising position at that point too. But the next thing that
What? What? Did I really text you when you were in a compromising
position? Listen, we're supposed to keep moving forward, Denise. There's whispers for a reason, okay?
Stop it.
I cannot do that show right now, Reg.
I texted you while SmackDown had just finished.
Something else just finished.
I was gonna say this show was like practically ending, and I literally texted you like on the dot. How were you watching SmackDown? Were you SmackDown and chilling?
There was 2 SmackDowns going on, Denise.
I'm dead.
Why are we starting the show like this? What in the hell happened here?
Oh man. Everyone says Reg was finishing his story.
This is crazy, you guys.
Oh, you broke.
No, what's really crazy, Denise, is that show. That's the show that Cody came out and gave the match to The Rock. So when it's like, it's going on, I'm like, wait, something is going on, like on TV. We have to watch.
Reg, I didn't hear any of that.
I'm glad.
I'm still talking
about this, I'm like, I probably shouldn't be talking about this.
I'm still traumatized. Matt Logan says Queen Aminata is all elite. She's been all elite, actually, hasn't she?
Yeah, but they just put out the graphic today. Of course, you wouldn't know that because you don't watch Rampage. But yeah, she had a really good match with Anna Jay. And right afterwards, Tony Khan put out the Queen Aminata is all elite. Very amazing.
Sam Pai Boone says, do you think we will see John Cena help Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? All right, well, let's get into this conversation. Sam, thank you so much for the super chat. Let's get right to it. The Rock and Roman Reigns. So The Rock comes, Roman Reigns comes out. And the first thing he does is he's calling the people of Utah idiots. We have his little title plate that says 1,265 days as champion. And he says that today is finally the day where he can say that The Rock is a member of the bloodline. And what we get is The Rock, who comes out, big moment. He shows us his chills on his arms. And he goes out there and we get heel Rock. He goes out there and he reminds us something that I've missed, Reg, is these kinds of promos where there's almost like no holding back and going like all in on the crowd. And it reminded me of the days where The Rock would make fun of people, trash them, say all these things, and the fans would still chant for The Rock. So it brought me back to that place because The Rock went out there and he's making fun of, you know, everybody in Utah because, you know, Mormons and 50 wives, and he's saying that they have inbred children and all of these things, really taking us back to more of an attitude era like promo. He's calling everybody trailer park trash, saying they broke the record for having the most trailer park trash in the building. And I can't even go into all of the details of how The Rock buried Cody Rhodes' story. Like, they need to have Cody Rhodes say something and say something quick, because The Rock literally threw his story on the floor, stepped on it, and smashed it during this promo, and basically called everybody idiots for supporting Cody Rhodes and expecting him to finish his story. He goes on to say that while Cody Rhodes' story is ending, the Bloodlines is just beginning, and we close out SmackDown with an image of the entire Bloodline putting the finger up. Reg, begin wherever you'd like with this one.
The Rock was lying. That's where we're going to start. How he said all this, he's like, the 49ers, blah, blah, blah. Rock, we watched Cody Rhodes win the Royal Rumble a couple weeks ago. So what are you talking about, big dog? I'm all along to what you're the thing you're trying to say, but this isn't the right angle, because you're like, why should he finish his story when he lost? But he didn't lose. He won the Royal Rumble and has deserved a match with Roman Reigns. Okay, there's a lot of this that I liked. Everything that The Rock did, I loved. Coming out with the sleeveless Versace vest, I'm like, oh my God, it's 1998 again. We are right back to it. Him throwing me off, he tricked me, because my least favorite thing about babyface Rock is when he comes down to the ring, he gives a promo, and he's like, in 5 seconds, you guys are going to chant this, and in 5 seconds, it's going to trend on Twitter. He's like, he came in with like, you guys have set a record. I'm like, oh, he's doing this pandering crowd thing, and then he got us with this Salt Lake City thing. Thought it was really, really good stuff. Denise, though, this promo and the last couple of weeks have shown me that the WWE universe and the wrestling crowds now are way, way, way different than they have been in a long time. The Rock was trying so hard to get this crowd to hate him, and they didn't want to at all. They did not want to. He had to be like, boo, say the word boo. Please. Oh, you guys don't like, oh, you guys are booing that. They weren't even booing that. Like, three people were booing it. He was trying so hard to force these fans to hate him, and they're not going to. They'll be in some cities that'll be a little bit more vocal, but that's not what these WWE crowds are about. They're about, you're a big star, dude. That's all we care about. You're in the ring with the Bloodline, dude. That's all we care about. You can call us inbred, hicks, dumb, all that. I don't care, dude. You're The Rock. You're cool. That I'm actually honored that you're disrespecting us right now. It just showed kind of like the how the internet is like, the internet's one way, and then the live crowds are totally different than that. And I thought it was very glaring here with this Rock promo. But yeah, he just said a bunch of lies, but that's what you're supposed to do as a heel. That's what I really liked about it. I was like, oh, he came and started lying? My favorite heel trait right there. It's amazing. But yeah, the crowds are just like, it's good because they're sold out and they are loud, but they're not giving him the desired reaction that he wants. And I think his promo was going to be more based off those points. And I've seen some people be like, oh, I don't really like what he did because he was thought he was going to get a different reaction from the crowd. I thought it was great, though. I love this. I want this to move forward with this heel rock, the leather, the Versace, all really good stuff to me.
Yeah, so I kind of felt the same way that you did in the sense that I liked certain aspects of it, right? And the main aspect that I liked about it, like I said, was him kind of bringing more of this like Attitude Era nostalgia to us with the things that he was saying and trashing the people, like all of that I was a fan of because I had missed it. I've missed this like, you know, we've gotten super squeaky clean type of content. Like I'm here for, throw some shots at me, man. Make me want to boo you. Like I kind of miss stuff like that. I know there's a line that, you know, obviously you don't want to cross, but I thought that this line was pretty okay. I don't know. Maybe that's up to everybody to decide. I'm really sure what the rules on that are anymore, but I was really just like interested in like The Rock talking shit, The Rock doing all of this. But you're right though, because the one thing, look, had Cody Rhodes not won the Royal Rumble, everything that The Rock said here would have been fine. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with it because it's like, yeah, he's right. Okay. Are the 49ers going to be like, oh, well, we need a second chance next week because we didn't get to finish our story? Okay. When he compares it to that, all of that, everything that he said makes sense. I'm in agreeance with you, Rock. Completely agree. But the problem is that he just didn't care at all or glossed over the fact, obviously, that Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble. Like, that completely throws the argument completely out the window. Like, that's just the one thing that throws it out the window. But with that, though, I think he did enough, though, to, like, really kind of bury Cody Rhodes' story here.
Yeah, I think that was it was on purpose because he wants, there's still, I think, because Roman kind of did the same thing. He was like, oh, you guys are chanting for Cody, the person that ruined everything. Like, Roman is still on this, like, the story. My story was facing The Rock and becoming the real tribal chief and head of the table, and you guys ruined it. And then The Rock came and said the same thing. Dude, we've been telling you this guy's with this story for 3 years, this tribal chief thing. I got this bloodline, this family thing, and you guys are chanting for Cody. We don't want Cody here. This is about our family, and you're trying to bring this fool who lost, even though he didn't lose, who lost. Maybe he's referencing WrestleMania last year, which I could kind of get behind, but it still doesn't make sense because of the Royal Rumble thing, you know?
I was going to say, in storyline, it doesn't make sense. You know what part doesn't make sense is that when Cody Rhodes brought in The Rock in storyline, the first Friday that this all happened, that this all went down, the whole thing was, oh, The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to have this match, right? Just based off of the stare down, based off of what happened there. Right. And now, basically, they're making it seem like the Cody crybabies were the reason that this match is no longer happening, right?
Right.
So, but here's the thing, though. Wouldn't The Rock, in storyline, still want this match against Roman Reigns?
Yes. So in storyline, like, well, no, because in storyline, he was going to get the match and the fans ruined that. So, like, that is a reason for him to be mad at them. Like, if I was going to have the match and potentially get a WWE championship match and the fans get to the match changed essentially to get Cody in there, I would be pissed too. I'm going to come and yell at you guys and call you crybabies for changing the plan that we've been having for the last 3 years.
Yes, and I agree with that. But then why would he just choose to align himself with Roman Reigns again? Is it just because it's like the friend of my friend, like the enemy of my enemy is your enemy, whatever, that whole thing?
No, yes, because okay, now you make sense now, Denise.
Shouldn't he still be mad at Roman Reigns? Just because this match isn't happening and Cody Rhodes screwed him, shouldn't he still want to beef with Roman Reigns?
Like, what was the initial stare down about, is what you're saying?
Yes, thank you. What was the initial stare down about? Was it
like,
just
no,
hey,
I'm not mad at you anymore. I hate this fool Cody Rhodes. We're against him. And that's kind of like, I'm seeing what you're saying, because it's like, is now The Rock building to a match with Cody Rhodes? Because Roman didn't say shit about Cody Rhodes. Like, what's going on here? I'm very confused, honestly.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. I'm like, wait a minute. We all know that this whole story got really messy along the lines, and there's this whole blurred of, like, you know, kayfabe and shoot, and is it a work and is it not a work? you know, the way that we got here was so rocky and just messy. And now there are some things in storyline that just don't make complete and total sense.
But I think that's the issue and why we got here. Triple H apparently booked something for a Royal Rumble. Maybe they had these plans laid out and they were like, we're executing. We don't care what that thing is. Because if the Royal Rumble wasn't in here, all this would make a lot more sense. It's just a little bit confusing. But I thought the execution of kind of doing the full Rock Hill turn was executed well.
Okay, so we got some people in here saying some thoughts. We'll see. This is from Kayal, who says, it was clear in the press conference that it was never about taking down Roman, just about a match to honor their bloodline. Okay, so then we go back to the initial confrontation, and that was just what it was about, that it was never about taking the title off of Roman. But then why would Cody Rhodes say that he spoke to his counsel, and he decided that this match wasn't going to happen at WrestleMania, and then brings out The Rock?
We're not talking about that. Just like they are on TV.
Okay, so let's just forget that happened.
That's what they're trying to tell you on the show, Denise. They're like, don't remember that. That never happened. Remember the press conference, the kickoff? That's what happened. That other thing never happened.
Okay, so now the story that we have to take in instead is Cody Rhodes disrespected the bloodline. Yep. And he disrespected this match from happening. And so now we're pissed. So now it's just about Cody Rhodes and The Rock being pissed at Cody Rhodes.
Yes, it's about honor. Cody Rhodes said that, talked about their grandpa, talked about their dads and stuff. So now it's about fighting back against Cody Rhodes, and you pissed The Rock off. So that's where we are.
See, now I'm sitting here and I'm like, damn, now I kind of want to see The Rock and Cody Rhodes at some
point. See, why do they keep doing this, Denise? Because after the kickoff show, I was like, oh, we're going to get a tag match. Now after this show, I'm like, oh, Cody and Rock are going to go one-on-one. Why are you guys doing this to us?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I feel like we're going in so many different directions and what's happening here. So this is one of the situations where, explain it to me like I'm 5 years old, Reg. Like I'm 5 years old. Let's break it down that way.
No,
because
they're just going to change it 5 minutes later, be like, no, forget everything we told you 5 minutes ago. And we're like, dude, I'm trying to get caught up on this.
I'm dead. Matt Kensley, it's about jive. It's about power.
I mean, honestly, those are bars.
All right. I'm just asking questions, man. All right. Yeah. I just want to know what is going on so that I can understand the new story that we're going with, and that I can actually enjoy it as we move along with all of this. Because I'm sitting here and I just feel like it's not really about Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes right now. It doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't. Again, I was going to ask you, did Roman Reigns feel like little bro again, like he felt at the press conference? As soon as The Rock comes out, it's like Roman Reigns is like, oh, look at a big star is here now. I'm going to just hang out in the back. Like, again, why is Roman playing a background character? Why do they keep giving Cody bigger matches? What the heck is going on here? Is Cody Rhodes, again, Denise, going to finish the story of... The story is 20 different things now, but at the end of WrestleMania Night 2 this year, do you think Cody Rhodes is going to be the world champion?
God, when you asked me that question last time, I said, if they do Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, they can't have the guy lose again. Like, it would just be, like, dirty.
Now what?
Okay? Now you ask me that question again, and I feel the exact same way, Reg. I don't think that they can have Cody Rhodes go out there for a second time at another WrestleMania main event and lose.
I think with the way that they've been the last couple promos, promo tonight, you can't have that story happen and be talking about him like you have been and him not finish the story. Like, if he does all that and then The Rock comes and buries him and Roman's burying him and then they beat him again, it's going to be hard for him to come back from that.
That's what I'm saying. And like, even today, after this promo that The Rock did today, I also feel like Cody Rhodes, he's got to say something like, Monday, I need to hear like, from him back on Monday. Fight back, bro. Like, you can't, like, you cannot have this man go out there, make fun of your fans for being crybabies, calling them all idiots and saying that life doesn't work, making him seem like less of a man. He said I did all those things today. Yeah. Cody Rhodes needs to come out there and be like, he needs to make a clear statement about it on Raw. On a promo, he needs to go out there and like really, really deliver.
because he's getting right now. We're like, oh man, Cody, they got you on the ropes, dude.
Yes.
The Rock is taking you to school. And it's kind of like, again, it makes Cody look dumb, and Cody's not his character and the person. He's not a dumb person. And he has to, they're taking your manhood out there, dude. They got you by the nuts, Cody. You got to go out there and show them who you are, dude.
That's exactly how I feel. Man. All right. So going back to this question from Sampai Boon, who says, do you think we will see John Cena help Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Do we incorporate John Cena into all of this?
I'd probably see Stone Cold before we see John Cena.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I feel like adding John Cena into this just feels like we're just adding too much at this point.
I don't think in like an official capacity, but we can maybe see him like, because I know there's going to be a big hubbub in one of these matches where 1,000 people do a run-in, and Cena could be right. One of those run-ins.
Okay. We got Diego Almos here sends in a super chat saying, couldn't tell if that was The Rock or Ricky Starks out there with that vest. Wow. Saying. Wait, yeah. So now we're making Ricky Starks comparisons of The Rock instead Ricky of Starks The Rock comparisons like, for Ricky Starks?
Finally, I did it. Ricky Starks has worked a long time to get to this, Diego. Send this to him.
Kyle says, I do not think that was a burial at all. Rock is clearly playing narcissist, lying dude. Yeah, but still buried his story. That's the point. He's
lying,
heel.
Though, Denise. That's like at the end of it, you're all, but he was lying, though. So I think that's what makes it okay.
Yeah, but the way he said it was just so convincing, Reg.
Denise is like, I don't care if he's lying.
It was convincing. There are so many liars that get by with their lies because they're convincing.
I mean, if we want to get political, it'll get crazy up in here. Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could literally spew any BS, but if you sound confident while you're saying it, people are going to buy it.
That's why they keep telling The Rock to run for president, because it's like, man, he's so convincing. He got me to, but I'm like, man, Cody doesn't deserve this. You're right.
Chris Ludek says, Hollywood Rock didn't get the run-in it needed in 2003. But I think he turns on the bloodline at WrestleMania. Roman now feels like number two in his stable, which is crazy to say, because I think that Roman Reigns has done such a great job of coming out and having this like godlike type of presence.
I mean, this is going to end with them having a match. So I think that this probably is part of the story is where I'm leading with this. Like, Roman's going to be like, why am I keep playing little dog over here? I fought all this time to take your spot, and you got me in this position again. So we're going to fight. I don't know if they're going to fight at WrestleMania, but they're going to fight sometime this year. So
you think it'll happen this year, like at SummerSlam, or do you think it'll happen like WrestleMania 41?
No, it's going to happen at big Saudi money whenever they say, here's $100 million for The Rock. Yeah. Money, Denise.
I know. Money talks. I'm not even going to lie.
You know how much money they got. The Rock, yeah. They're like, yo, how much do you want, dude? Here's the blank check.
We can't afford that over here. We're too poor. We're like, nah. We get the we're already paying $9.99 for the Peacock. That's all we're willing to give.
That's it, dude. We ain't giving them nothing else.
Mr. Acosta says, I don't care about logic. I don't care if some of what he said out there didn't make sense. I am sports entertained. This is Heel Rock. We are so effing back.
Listen, I'm telling you, Denise, some people just want this heat. The best heels are liars. And The Rock, this is vintage The Rock. His prime was being a big liar, and we're seeing it again. And that's what we want out of The Rock. I'm all in too.
It's nostalgia, because all we've gone in since The Rock is people trying to be like The Rock, but not hitting like The Rock.
And even worse, Denise, we've gotten The Rock, and it's been like, when he did that gender promo, I was like, dude, what are you doing? So like, this was way better than that.
Like, that's why, like, I feel like I agree with Mr. Acosta, not in the sense that I don't like when things don't make sense, but in the sense where he's sports entertained. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that you weren't sports entertained by what The Rock went out there and said tonight.
Yeah, even good or bad. Like, if you hated it or if you loved it, it was sports entertainment down to the T for sure.
Steven Marchulli says, here's the story. Rock pins Rollins night one, wins tag match. Cody beats Roman night two. The fuse is lit. No, but Rollins is going to be facing whoever he faces in that Elimination Chamber match, which I'm hoping is Drew McIntyre.
We talked about, Phil and I talked about if they're doing the night one tag match with those four guys, and then
Oh, so you're suggesting two matches, not just for Roman, but also for Seth Rollins?
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Cody, essentially.
Mm.
Yeah, but I don't know if people want to see like the same guys in two nights. Because I've seen people being like, why doesn't Roman just defend it two nights? And I was like, do you want to see him in consecutive main events back to back on the biggest show of the year? I mean, I'm sure there are a section of fans that want to, but I don't think everybody would you?
Me?
You
do? I wouldn't mind it. Yeah, that was like my original prediction. You want to see
back and back-to-back matches?
It's Roman Reigns. I'd rather have double Roman Reigns matches than that one random-ass WrestleMania match that gets thrown in with like 20 people that you barely see on the show. And it's like, oh, let's just get a bunch of people in there because we need to get everybody a WrestleMania moment.
My issue is the whole point of having two night WrestleManias, the whole point of these long ass shows is so we can get two main events for somebody. Like, this is like, that's supposed to be like some big thing for someone. Like, oh, this is the first time the women main, it's like some kind of a thing. And it's like, no, it's just two more bloodline. Like, this is just bloodline WrestleMania. It's like, I understand, but also like, do you guys really want that?
I wouldn't be opposed to it if it was the right story being told. Like, if they told us, okay, you get your Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes match, but you also get your Roman Reigns Rock match. I would not be opposed to seeing those two matches essentially main event WrestleMania. But now with the direction that they're going, it's going to be a little bit longer until we get The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, exactly. And so Sheldon Mysterio saying in the chat, Becky and Rhea main event night one, like something like that makes more sense of what they're doing with it. You know?
What match do you think main events? Okay, so for example, we're definitely getting, at least I'm assuming we're definitely getting night two, which is Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, right? So yeah. Night one, I'm predicting it's either going to be Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, or Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. Out of those two matches, which one would you go for night one?
See, first of all, I don't want Drew Mack to be the person. I want Sami Zayn to be the person.
Oh, shit. So we're not even in agreement with that.
Yeah, we'd have to start there, I think. But I don't. That's a really tough question, honestly, Denise, because I think for the history and the story they're going to continue telling going into the show, that Becky and Rhea will end up being the stronger story. But I want Seth to have like that opportunity at one point to be the last match, at least of night one. So I probably would go with the world champion, Seth Rollins.
Right, especially after they've made him feel like so second tier.
Right, like got to give him one little reward at least, Denise.
And
right?
Then all of a sudden, like, bro, we just kicked you to the curb. You've been on the sidelines. And hey, you're gonna be the second to last match on the first night.
I mean, that's got to hurt. Got to give him a little win. Like, here you go, dude. At least this. Like, that kickoff show where he's in the background, like how they've been talking about him. Like, you got to give him some kind of win.
Exactly. Tunde Yud says, is it me or The Rock will turn against Roman to get Cody by sabotaging him to a match? Your thoughts? I feel like a lot of people are expecting to see The Rock turn against Roman. But do you want The Rock to turn against Roman during this match and kind of help give a leg up to Cody Rhodes so Cody Rhodes technically doesn't win like cleanly? Or do you want it to happen afterwards? Like Cody Rhodes is celebrating. He's having his big moment. Roman Reigns is there on the ground feeling like shit because he just ended his streak and all of this. And then The Rock goes up there and, you know, does something.
I want Cody to get like a clean win, but we know that's not going to happen at all with it's a Roman Reigns match. Like that'd be asking for a lot to make that happen. But I think, yeah, in order to kind of get to Rock and Roman as not a title match, he has to screw him over, right? That's kind of like the only logical explanation for me. They'll probably go with something else if they're going to prolong it, but yeah, that's what I would do.
Either that or like afterwards, like let's say when Roman Reigns loses, The Rock tells them that like he embarrassed the bloodline and he doesn't deserve to be the head of the table because he just lost to Cody Rhodes, and then thus, like you said earlier, making their way towards this match to Rock and Roman.
That could work too. Yeah, I mean, that would be a way for Cody to get a cleaner win without The Rock kind of being involved. So there's a couple of ways they could go. But if they do, there's a potential that they could do a night one thing with Cody. And because they haven't officially been like, this is the night two main event. I mean, Triple H did that tweet and they kind of, but they could change it and be like, actually, it's going to be The Rock and Roman for the belt at the night two and Cody get the night one match. I don't know. There's so many things that could happen here.
I don't know why I'm feeling so sus about WrestleMania 40. Like, I'm not going to believe anything. That's what I'm saying, Denise. Until like I'm there in the building watching these guys come out and the bell rings. I'm not even gonna, not even them coming out. The bell ringing is when I'm gonna say, all right, this is the match we're getting.
Exactly. We're like, because they've announced Cody and Roman, and I'm like, I still can't believe it until it's officially happening.
Why do we feel that way?
I don't know. I think just because of what's happened in the last couple of weeks, but they keep showing us, and I'm like, I don't believe it, dude. Like, you're gonna do something. I've had this sick feeling that The Rock is going to be like, why don't you challenge me for your spot, Cody, and like beat him or something. Like, something nasty is going to happen on the way up. It just feels like too much time. I hope that's not like that. I hope that is chill, but it feels a little suspicious, like you said.
We got trust issues over here. I'm saying. Joe Compton sends in a very generous super chat. Thank you so much to Joe, who says, my hot take for the night. In my opinion, this was a dumpster fire of a Rock promo. He did the same old heel 101 stuff. He tried to be Hollywood Rock. Ruthless Aggression and Attitude Era Rock was definitely better. This is some hot take from Joe Compton, man. We're all here for the hot takes, man. I feel like for me, and I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. To me, it was funny. I liked the nostalgia. I really do. I always feel like sometimes I'm like, I see other people enjoy the nostalgia, and I think sometimes I forget that I enjoy it too. And today was kind of a reminder of that.
Yeah, no, one thing I am going to agree with Joe on, and some of the issue I kind of have with this, is I think that for this character or the direction that's being taken, I think The Rock might be a little too online. Like, he's a little too aware of what people are saying, because all week people have been like, Hollywood Rock, he should do this. Remember this old promo? And instead of like thinking of a new way to go about this, he probably just watched a bunch of his old clips and researched, like, oh, they like that, so I'm gonna just do that again. That worked before, and I'm just gonna rehash that. And I think that's what happened here, because I've been seeing all week, why doesn't he do Hollywood Rock? I hope he's Hollywood Rock. And it's like, what if he did like a new version of The Rock doing something? But it just feels like he's criminally online, because he's too on the nose with some things that I see online. I'm like, you shouldn't be referencing that on TV or anywhere, and he does.
Well, he's mentioned it. I mean, within the Cody Crybaby situation itself, with people going online and talking about this.
And he's talking about people being online, and then they're like, why are you online so much then, Dwayne? How you know about all this? How you know they online so much? Because you online too.
Freaking Dwayne. Why is it funny when people say Dwayne? You said Dwayne and I was like, dying.
That's his name.
I know, but he's The Rock. He's The Rock. Like, I can't say Dwayne. Like, if I say Dwayne. That was always
my favorite thing about The Rock. When people are like, The Rock's black, I'm like, this fool has like the blackest name. Dwayne Johnson is his name. Like, that is like the blackest name you could get. Like, Tyrone Jenkins is like the only black. That's like the blacker you could get. But Dwayne Johnson, like, what else would you be with that name, dude? I don't get it.
For me, when I say Dwayne, I have to include the whole thing. I have to be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I can't just say Dwayne Johnson or just Dwayne. Like, it's either The Rock or Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne is a really funny name, though. Dwayne.
I was about to say, it sounds like he should be wearing glasses, but then I was like, wait, Reg wears glasses?
Throw me under the bus again, because I'm old.
Don't worry, I got glasses too. It's all right. I'm on the Dwayne. I'm on the Dwayne boat too. So
30 minutes of talking about Dwayne, Denise.
Oh shit! All right, well that's fine. Hey, we knew what it was gonna be. Mike Parker, PWMM, says The Rock did a great job back to his heel persona as far as getting people to boo him. He has the icon status, and that is too entertaining to be truly hated. I felt like it reminded me of back in the day. Like, I remember when I used to go to the shows and The Rock would bury, you know, the whole entire crowd, and the crowd would be like,
but this feels different. Like, he could have said anything in the world. He could have been like, I had sex with all of your moms, and everybody'd be like, yeah, I'm your dad, yeah, like, I kicked your kid, yeah. Like, there was nothing in the world that was going to change these guys' opinion. But yeah, Mike, it's exactly how it is. He's just like, he's an icon. He's known all over the world, one of the biggest names in the world. It's going to be hard to really get them to truly be like, we hate this guy.
Right, of course. And that's how I felt. Like, I know earlier, like a couple weeks ago, when someone in the chat had pitched, you know, The Rock going back as a heel, like, my initial instinct was to kind of go against that, only because The Rock has become just such a lovable figure. Like, Rock. Even if you don't watch pro wrestling, you still, like, know The Rock from Hollywood movies, and you love The Rock because he's funny and he's, you know, cool. And so, like, you don't hate The Rock. Like, he doesn't go out there and do stuff, at least that I recall, that gets him to get hated on by people, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why he's trying to go so hard with the character also. He's like, I have to change completely because I already have this thing that everybody loves me. It's a calculated effort that he made, because I think when he initially left wrestling, he was like, I'm not The Rock. I'm just Dwayne Johnson. I'm DJ. I didn't wrestle. Like, I'm trying to get away from all that. And he kind of lost a little bit of stuff. And then this Black Adam thing happened, and people were kind of upset about that. And there was a certain feeling about The Rock. But I think he kind of erased all that these last couple of weeks, at least with wrestling fans, because them fans in there don't care about nothing that happened before. They care about seeing The Rock today. So
Right. Like, when it comes to this, like, I mean, I didn't watch Black Adam, and I heard that, I don't know, I heard that it didn't do well. But, like, to me, that's not enough for me not to be excited about seeing The Rock, because I care about Rock as the wrestling personality. And that was also my introduction to The Rock, and to so many people here was through pro wrestling. So it's almost like I can separate what he's doing in Hollywood and what he's doing, or what he had done and is known for, in pro wrestling.
Right.
We got Sheldon Jackson here, who says the promo was all over the place for me. But also, did you notice at the end when the Bloodline put the ones in the sky, The Rock didn't put a one up. He did a gun salute. Was it on purpose or an accident? I didn't even notice that.
I didn't notice either. Yeah, no, I'm going to need to see a picture of that. But I'm sure 100%.
Oh, he did. I think he messed up.
Let me see it.
Let me put the image up. Hold on one second. He did, like, the L sign, like the loser.
Yeah, that might be calculated on purpose, I think.
No way. I think he probably was just instinct, you know? Maybe he didn't realize that the thumb
goes
down.
He doesn't do L, didn't he? He does that. Yeah, no, that's calculated. Know. That's on purpose.
You think?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. He knows what it is. He's not dumb.
Okay, well, maybe because I'm talking out of, like, a nerd bubble where, like, the pressure's too high and I would panic and put my thumb out.
No, it's The Rock, Denise. He's not, there's no pressure to panic over The Rock.
Okay, so definitely calculated the way that Sheldon brings it up. All right, So there you go. When he turns on Roman Reigns, he's going to be like, I was never with you. And they're going to zoom in on the thumb.
Just like people are saying in the chat, it's Bullet Club Gold. It's Bang 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 Gang. That's what he was really doing. He's trying to join over there.
What you're saying is that The Rock makes more sense to go into AEW now, since he's out doing Bang Bang Club thing. And then on top of that, he's referring to the internet maybe being a little too inside baseball.
Yeah, totally. The Rock. I don't know what The Rock's doing, but I do also know what The Rock is doing.
Steven Marchulli says, what if Cody had counsel from Austin?
See, I can see it. Like, I think Stone Cold Steve Austin needs to be a part somehow of WrestleMania 40. Again, it's the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, so they got to get him involved some way, and I think that could be a way to do it.
William Weber says, Rock keeps forgetting Cody won the Royal Rumble.
He does. The whole time, he just kept saying he's a loser. We're like, dude, we saw him win, The Rock. Sorry.
Like, he earned his way back.
Yeah.
Come on now. Plugger 1234 says, hey, Denise and Reg, I'm going to Elimination Chamber in Perth, Western Australia, my hometown. Are you guys coming or watching live? So I'm definitely going to be watching live.
At 2 a.m.?
Dude, I have to. So I do Busted Open on Saturdays. I go live at 6 a.m. So 2 a.m. is when Elimination Chamber begins, and I'm assuming it's going to end between 5 and 6. By that time, I got a show to do. And it's not like I can sleep and then wake up and then catch up. Like, how would I do the show without knowing what happened on the Elimination Chamber?
You can't. Oh,
so wow. I'm going to have to be up from, like, 2 a.m. through at least 9 when I finish my show. I know.
Are you ready? Have you been getting prepared for it this next week?
No, I haven't. I'm honestly really scared. I'm really scared that I'm going to be, like, doing my podcast and I'm going to be like,
Denise, I tried to watch Wrestle Kingdom this year because, you know, it starts around that time and I couldn't get through it. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to make it, dude.
I have to. I have no choice, Reg.
It is for your job. Like, you legit have to make it.
And then on top of that, I got to be peppy. I got to be on the air and happy and alive.
Like, even worse than just making it, like, you got to get ready and make it and shit. It's different.
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't know. Bear with me, guys. I was even thinking about doing a watch along. But then I thought, who the hell's going to watch along? Ain't nobody going to be up.
Nobody's going to be up. There are going to be some people up, but not as many as.
Yeah. Like, how stupid would I look doing a watch along with, like, two people on? at 2 a.m.
3 a.m. You're just talking. Oh, yeah, great move.
I'm going to look stupid. Sheldon Jackson says, let's not forget, Rock, weren't you the same guy who lost to Stone Cold at WrestleMania twice for the title in 1999 and 2001? It took Rock to 2003 before he finally won. He's speaking from experience. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson out here, always bringing in facts. Rafael Garcia says, I have so many questions. How much TNA did Triple H watch in 2016? Why is Naomi's theme the best thing Death Rebel has done? Where is Petey Williams? By the way, so yeah, Naomi had a new theme song today. I loved it. I was walking around the house going, glow, glow, glow.
Yeah, it's kind of like a remix of her TNA theme pretty much, and I liked it a lot. I think it's perfect. You got to have Naomi on her own theme. It just all makes sense.
Which is funny because usually it's the other way around. TNA does a remix of whatever it is that the person had in WWE.
You're right. My, how the tables have turned.
Danielle Cooper says The Rock sounded legitimately pissed off. That wasn't even storyline. That was him being pissed off with the fans not wanting him. I think he did a good job of making people feel, like Danielle says, feeling like he's legitimately pissed off at his WrestleMania match being taken back.
I think there really is some truth in there. I think there is some part of like, y'all really did ruin this. We had a plan and you guys are talking and being crybabies. And like, he probably really feels a little bit of that. I would think so.
Man, John Collins says, Denise and Red, your live streams are the best junk food. Oh, yeah. Awesome. wait a minute. You. We're good for you, but we're bad for you.
1,000%. You know what time it is.
Lawrence Ross says, look at the roster stacked. Got to spread the love. No two nights for a Roman Reigns.
Or is he, I thought he's talking about us.
Oh, no, he's talking about putting more people on the show and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. It's like there's so many, like, Gunther could be in that spot. Like, there's a bunch of people that could be there.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Gunther to not be in it. Like, I'm talking about, like, maybe people that don't even have a storyline, haven't been seen on TV in a while.
Right, that's a match that's taken away from somebody because we have to make, you know, you got to make 45 minutes for a Roman Reigns match.
Right, but I feel like if that's the match, if that's the story to tell, then why not tell it? If that's the right story to tell at the time.
I guess so, because that's the biggest story of the company for the last 3 or 4 years. It makes sense that the 40th anniversary of this would be that, but it's still just like there's other people that could maybe get that spot or one of those spots or some of that time.
Ryan Lambert says Bayley versus Io should main event night one. Dude, I love the damage control story, but I think just based on the fact that they didn't even promote that match heavily the way that they did Rhea and Becky. It really feels like they're not treating it like a big main event match. That's why I'm not expecting it to be a main event.
This is classic how they treat Bayley. Like Bayley's always like, they should give her all these opportunities, or they like looks on the surface like she's getting a good opportunity, but it's like the bare minimum of opportunity. That's exactly what it feels like. It's like she has the match. She has the main event. She won the Royal Rumble. But like, look what's happening. She wasn't at the kickoff show. Her story isn't one of the main shows. She's not going to be the main event of the show, no matter what they get from here. It's like she gets it, but she deserves so much more.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. They should give her more of the star red carpet treatment along with it. Yeah. Joe Compton, thank you so much for becoming a new member of the DWO. We got Will Chisholm here who says, will The Rock try to get Jay back in the bloodline, or will he stay loyal to his drinking buddy, Cody?
I kind of wonder what role that Jay's going to play in the bloodline thing, because everybody's background character so far, The Rock is legit came in and made the whole thing about him. I'm not surprised, actually.
I feel like it's hard because I like seeing what Jay's doing on his own, but is it enough? Like he could be with the bloodline and maybe doing a little bit more.
Right. Like he would have played an interesting role, I think, in this whole thing if he was slotted in there. Do you think that he's going to win the Intercontinental Championship on Monday?
No. No, I'm expecting to see Gunther go into it with the Intercontinental Championship.
You think he's going to WrestleMania with the belt?
I think a lot of, Gunther, yes. And I think a lot of people, especially after the tease that we got at the Royal Rumble, I think a lot of people are expecting Jay versus Jimmy at WrestleMania. I don't know if that's doing, but I do expect that happening.
I keep forgetting about that match. I'm like, maybe he's going to win, but no, they're doing the brother versus brother match. I keep forgetting about
Which
that.
Is like, I feel like they haven't just like, they haven't reminded us enough about it.
Right. You would think they would start building to it like now, at least, to like get them on the same show. Like they're on different brands. How are they going to make this happen before then?
And it's so easy because it could be one of those, it could be like just something as simple as doing a backstage segment where it's like, oh, we finally feel like the bloodline's complete, but except your brother is not here with us where he should be. And kind of go from there, you know?
I was going to say you could do that at Elimination Chamber, but Roman not going to be there.
He ain't going to go to Elimination Chamber. And we're waking up at freaking 2 a.m.
He's definitely not going to be up watching the show.
Roman Reigns is going to be in some fancy, beautiful house that he owns. In his comfortable bed with like 8 pillows. He's going to be like this. Asleep.
His wife is like, hey, do you want to wake up to watch this? He's like, no, why did you wake me up?
Oh man. We got Jana here who sends in a very generous super chat. Thank you so much to Jana. Thank who you. Says Cody Rhodes has to win clean or people will diminish him finishing the story. They could have a brawl outside the ring between the bloodline and Cody's alliances, which leads to only Cody and Roman in the ring and a clean pin. Well, let me tell you, Jana, I 1000% agree with this. I'm gonna put the finger up, man, because this is true. If Cody Rhodes wins with any sort of help, people are going to diminish him finishing the story 1000%.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue with the Rock thing getting involved. But I know there's going to be shenanigans, but you got to keep it as minimal as you can because this has to feel good for Cody. And if there's a bunch of shenanigans and it feels like they got there in the worst way, people are going to be upset about it. And they're going to feel like the whole thing was kind of a waste. So there's a way they need to nail it. We'll just got to see if they will.
Damn, this is one of those stories they got to get just right.
They painted themselves between a crazy corner, Denise, because I think they tried to get away from it. Is what this happened with this Rock thing. They were like, they keep wanting us to tell this story with Cody. What if we just have the Rock coming and been in the spot? And they were like, well, people don't like that, so we have to finish this. And now I'm still on I've been making a lot of jokes. I've been talking a lot. I still 100% think at the end of WrestleMania 40, we're going to see Roman Reigns in the middle of the ring with those belts. Like, I just think that's going to happen, but I hope it doesn't for Cody's sake.
Right. And I hate it because like part of me honestly has a feeling that that's not so far-fetched.
Cause like, if you like think about it, even in kayfabe terms, you're like, well, they're kind of playing background. They're kind of playing this, but still forever in the back of my mind that Hogan next accolade is beating Hogan. It's just too close to deny.
Make a Maniac says Denise coffee fun. Thank you very much. Jay Stone says at some point, I think they should rebuild the U.S. title scene primarily around a Braun and Carmelo feud. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, we finally got a match with Logan Paul today, which we're going to talk about in just a second, but it finally took him a while to actually defend or to be in a match on SmackDown because he had only been having the PLE match. What was it at freaking Royal Rumble? And it was the Royal Rumble match since he won. And then this match, and then that's it, right? Like, I'm not missing anything. No, that was it.
This is crazy because I watched the match today and I saw Logan Paul come down with his belt. But when Jay said this, I still had to think about who the U.S. champion was. So that's not a good sign.
It definitely isn't. Aaron Smith, thank you so much for the generous super chat saying, loving your work, Denise. Do we think we get any more matches accounted for Elimination Chamber? As an Aussie attending the show, it's feeling light on. Elimination Chamber also feels minimized by Rock and Roman. Well, you know, let me pull up the card really quick because obviously, you know, you got your two chamber matches. For the men's and the women's, and then you also have your match with Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax, and I'm trying to remember what match am I missing. We're getting the tag match. The Undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. They're doing the Grayson Waller effect. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes are appearing on that, and that's not a match, but yeah, that's it. Oh shit, it's the women's match, it's the two Elimination Chamber matches, the tag team match, and then the Grayson Waller effect. To be honest, I feel like that might be it because they've been keeping their shows pretty short like this, pretty compact.
I feel like it's going to be kind of like how the Royal Rumble was, because both Royal Rumble matches are like an hour, and if you do both Elimination Chamber matches an hour, that's already 2 hours right there, you know?
Right, and I don't want them to like jip us of like some good moments in the Elimination Chamber, because in both chambers, they have like enough to really give us some like, you know, some good hard-hitting action and some fun, you know, spots with the chamber and whatnot.
Definitely. It's something you want to just give time to and equal time to both the men and the women also. That's an important thing. So, yeah, it does feel kind of weird with not so many matches. Like, you look at a show and it's like, especially considering like what Aaron's saying here and the people that are going to be there live in attendance, it's like, you want to give this some big show. And that's what always makes it so weird about Roman Reigns. It's like they do these overseas shows, these big giant shows, of WWE fans, and then you don't bring the biggest wrestler, the biggest guy on your thing. Like, these people want to see Roman Reigns. Like, I know he wants vacation, but like, in Puerto Rico, they wanted to see Roman Reigns. In Australia, they want to see Roman Reigns. And he's like, I'm at home, dog.
To be fair, with Puerto Rico, they made up for it by having Bad Bunny there.
Well, yeah.
I know he's not Roman Reigns, but he's still a really big star. And obviously for Puerto Rico,
like,
and
it hit hard. But yeah, we should see Bad Bunny and Roman Reigns. He's the face of this brand. What are you guys doing? It's so weird.
Yeah, you're right. Especially because, again, it's so rare. Like, these other parts around the world just started getting these big shows.
Yep.
And it's like, you're waited for so long to get these kinds of shows, and then you don't have your big stars. Yeah, you're right. It does kind of feel like, you know, bring everything here. Joe Compton says, my prediction is Bayley versus Io opens up night one. I want it to main event, but my heart and gut tell me otherwise. I always think that it's kind of cool to be in the opening match for WrestleMania. Maybe that's just me, but I think it's a cool spot to be in. Like, if I'm not closing the show, I would want to be the one opening it up.
Yeah, especially in these two-night WrestleManias, I think with how everything starts, that's probably one of the best. Like, if there's, like, five really good spots, honestly, the first match of the first night is one of the top five spots for sure.
Right. Okay, so we got to get into some of the other items that happened on this show. Of course, we'll toe the line and go back and forth with whatever calls for. But we need to talk about, since we're on it right now, let's talk about this Elimination Chamber stuff, because we got some qualifying matches. And we found out that Kevin Owens is qualifying into the Men's Elimination Chamber, as well as Logan Paul. Now, for our Men's Elimination Chamber, where we're at right now, let me pull this up really quickly because I'm forgetting everybody right now. All right, we got LA Knight is in it. We got Drew McIntyre. We got Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, Logan Paul, and Kevin Owens. So that's where we're at with the entire Men's Elimination Chamber. The spots are full. Looking at this, Reg, what are you expecting? And I know you were saying that you're expecting to see Sammy.
I think the second chance rumble he might win or whatever that they have.
Okay. So What are you thinking goes down with this Elimination Chamber match?
I'm thinking if Sam isn't the guy, it definitely has to be Drew McIntyre, because he's been telling the story the last couple weeks, last couple months with Seth Rollins. And it kind of just makes the most sense with what story they're telling. But if, like, Kevin Owens happened to win, I wouldn't be mad at that either. There's a couple people in here that I think could work really well in this. There's going to be some interesting new people in this. But these qualifying matches, I need to talk about how god-awful Mike Mizanin is as a professional wrestler. It's been 20 years. This year, 2004, he debuted inside of Tough Enough, and this guy still stinks so much. 20 years and still working the wrong leg, dude. Amateur hour. There was god awful spots in this. There were spots I was embarrassed to watch wrestling.
The standing moonsault when he put the knees up, and I saw Logan Paul's head get stuck in between his legs.
And then he tried to roll him up for a pin, and then they both couldn't figure out how to wrestle. God awful material. It's been 20 years, dude. What the fuck are you doing? How are you still this bad? You used to wrestle with Bryan Danielson. You've main evented WrestleMania. You're this hardcore. You say you're the company guy. You're there before anybody. You the last one there. Get in the fucking ring and train then. What the hell is this? That shit was terrible. I'm talking about, this is like, turn this show off. There's a quick clip of Antonio Inoki. I think it's Sylvester Takai and Luke Gallows. And he's like, stop this fucking match. He's throwing chairs and shit. That's how I felt. This guy's a former world champion, a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I might put him on the WWE Mount Rushmore of what he's accomplished here, but he is god fucking awful as an in-ring competitor.
It's weird because, well, I was watching this match and my thoughts were, damn, this has probably been Logan Paul's worst match in WWE.
I wonder why.
Right, exactly. And I feel bad about that, but it was rough in certain spots, especially that spot that I just mentioned. I was kind of afraid for Logan Paul during that moment. And there were some other moments where I was just like, oh, like,
and the Miz is a safe wrestler. That's what make, like, the Miz is like, want to be, I'm safe. I never get injured. I never do. What the fuck was that then?
Because Logan Paul, like, he's good in the ring. We know that. Like, he's good. Love him, hate him. He's good in the ring. But he's still not so experienced where he needs to be in there with someone that is going to be, you know, helping carrying him into, you know, a good match and making sure that he's safe out there. Exactly. And I just don't think that both of these guys, they just didn't have that chemistry with one another where it just felt like all of the pieces of the puzzle, like they look like they fit, but they just didn't.
If Logan Paul messes up, it's fine. He said this is like his 10th match. He should be messing up. He should get lost out there. There should be moments where we're like, oh, that's not so good, because this is his 10th match. The Miz has like 2,000 fucking matches. He's wrestled in WWE so much, and he still sucks.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know. That's just what it is. And Logan
Paul, it was like that last time when I was watching the show. I was like, why is Denise making me watch? That's what I felt like. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm about to turn this shit off.
Okay. Well, on the bright side, The Miz did not win an advance to the Elimination Chamber. Logan Paul did. I saw a couple of people that are expecting Logan Paul to win. However, I'm not expecting them to do Logan Paul Seth Rollins again, since that's the match that we had at WrestleMania 39. And I feel like that's right. Too much copy and paste. Like, you might as well just bring the show back to SoFi if we're really going to have all of these matches that we just saw on the last show. Right. So I'm not expecting that to be. I'm not expecting him to win, but I am expecting him to have these like big moments in the chamber, you know, like a really cool buckshot lariat that he does, a really cool, you know, he's going to have some cool spot off of the pod, you know, something different, something unique. I think he's going to be the guy to do that or to bring that aspect of it into the chamber.
Cause thinking of the names, Denise, I'm like, who's the big bump guy in this? I'm like, I think Logan Paul might have to be the one to take the big bump. Cause you got a bunch of like main event stars that are, I mean, oh, Kevin Owens is in there. He's the big bump guy.
Yeah, Kevin Owens is going to do like a really cool cannonball. He's going to do some really cool stuff there too. But it's really going to be, I think, Logan Paul. Bobby Lashley will probably do some like freak of nature type of prowess thing. I'm expecting that from Bobby. But that's kind of a, I'm pretty sure
going to be good, I think.
Yeah, they have some good guys in this one. I think it's looking pretty good. All right, we got a couple of super chats here that I need to get to. This is from Sheldon Jackson, who says, also forgot to mention that The Rock looked a lot like Florida. Tonight with the vest, bald head, and chains. I haven't seen.
That's hold on. Funny.
Hold on. I need to Google Florida. Because
Florida. The Rock looks like Florida.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
He looks just like twinsies, I'm telling you.
I...
Before The Weeknd came and dominated every single song, it was.
Do you,
you gotta get one with the glasses on.
This one? This one?
Oh, I love
someone
it.
Someone should just like crop his face into The Rock's face, the one where he's doing the little, you know.
I need bring him back, have a match with The Rock.
Blake says, R-Truth must have a match against someone at WrestleMania. He'll probably have like that one comedy bit because, you know, Shane McMahon isn't going to come out there to tear his quads.
Sorry. I think that, I mean, they're going to have like a big Judgment Day match, I'm assuming, right?
I think so, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I would hope so.
John Collins says, we hear people talking about PPI, main eventing. Oh, hold on. We hear people talking about people main eventing night one of Mania. In reality, it's actually the middle of the show, isn't it? Do wrestlers feel this way? I saw a couple of people saying that because, you know, it's the two nights. So technically, the main event of the first night is like the middle of the entire WrestleMania card. But that's if you want to get like super, super technical. I don't see it that way. I see it as the main event of night one. But if you're going to say like which match is the main event, it's the obviously match. The second night. Yeah,
the last match is always the main event, no matter how they've been trying to sell it over this year's. Who we leave in thinking of is the main event of the show.
Right, but I'm not going to go home and cry if I'm only main eventing night one.
No, if you're on the WrestleMania show, you're fine, I think.
Right. John Collins, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so we were talking about the men's elimination chamber. We got to get into the women's elimination chamber because we got two people that qualified as well here today. One of them was Tiffany Stratton and the other one was Naomi. So that's officially going down. And on top of that, we already had Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, and Bianca Belair. This one feels very straightforward. Like, we already know Becky Lynch is going to win. And if Becky Lynch doesn't win, I'm going to be like, what kind of a swerve is this? And you guys paraded them out there. Like, come on, this is a dead giveaway. What are we doing?
Right, like, you're serving us right here in our front of our faces. Like, you laid this one all the way out for us. But this one is always, like, with the women's matches in WWE, when they do, like, the gimmick matches, it always feels way fresher than the men's match. It always feels like there's going to be something different. And that's what it feels like. Again, they got, like, Tiffany Stratton, Bianca's in there, Becky. Like, it's going to probably end up being the better chamber match just with the elements there. But yeah, if Becky loses this, we're all going to be like, what? How did this happen?
Exactly. Right. I'm expecting a fun match. Cause like you said, when you got the women doing these fresh new matches, it always feels fun. But yeah, Becky Lynch definitely for the win there, but overall,
Tiffany Stratton destroyed Zelina with that, Zelina with that moonsault though.
Oh, her prettiest moonsault ever looked phenomenal, man. And by the way, I have noticed that is it just me or is Zelina adding more like to her arsenal? Like, I feel I've seen her try new things. Like, I don't remember when's the last time I saw Zelina do a moonsault. Like, am I crazy?
It feels like she was never like 100% who she thinks she could be and what she shows in like her training. And it feels like she's getting to do more and show more of herself.
Yeah.
And it's making it better, honestly. Like, of course, like, why haven't she been doing this the whole time?
Exactly. She went out there and she did like a spot where she did like the 619 onto like the legs of Tiffany Stratton in that like the corner. I thought that was kind of cool. And then there was also like she'd done the Meteora a couple of times, but I just thought this time it just looked a little bit cleaner. I don't know what it is. I think she's got like this new like fire in her, and you're starting to see it because I think we got so used to kind of, I think that everything changed for her after that Backlash show, because I feel like from that point, like we were sort of disregarding her. Like, we were like, okay, she's just going to be the person that's in these squash matches for like 3 minutes and nothing more, nothing less. I feel like since Backlash, she has changed where all of a sudden it's like, no, you know what? I am I'm a competitor. Like some of the other women that you're seeing here, stop trying to disregard me as like something less than. And I feel like that's the message that we're getting.
Yeah. And the women's rosters on both brands are so strong. And with everything, Jade's coming in, Bianca's cooking, like everybody, the main stars are really cooking. Rhea's one of the hottest people in the entire roster. I think it's been a conscious effort from all the women to kind of step it up. But Zelina's definitely been at the front of the path of like, you know, she's been training every day. She's adding new things to her arsenal. She's trying to make herself undeniable. And that's kind of the only way it could work here.
We got a super chat here from the Experience and Ignorance Show who says R-Truth winning them tag titles at WrestleMania. Let's go. Wow, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But I'm just ready for new tag team titles, champions, though. I know. It's going to be a comedy thing, though, Reg. Will Chisholm says, I'm just asking to do New Japan Wrestle Kingdom Night 1 as a main event. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to Will Chisholm for sending in the super chat. Appreciate it, Will Chisholm. All right. So we got one final thing to get into. Two, if you want to talk about AOP, they had a quick squash match. Do we care? Was there anything to add?
You want to talk about AOP? Because
they had a squash match. I don't got much to say, man. I was going to say, unless you have some brilliant take, we can pass that.
I think everybody got the gist of it.
All right. Just making sure. I don't want people to be like, Denise, you forgot to talk about the AOP.
We didn't forget.
I feel bad. There's times where like if I'm recapping a show and something was like not that great, like I feel bad mentioning it and then saying, well, I have nothing to say about that and moving on. So I feel like it's sometimes better just to not mention it at all. But then I'm like, I don't want people to think that I forgot or that I didn't watch it. It's just that I have nothing great to say about
it. Like, what am I going to say about this match? What happened here?
Right, exactly. So there you go. We'll just have to wait and see for more interesting stuff. But anyways, the AOP, they went in a quick squash match. I think they announced Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, didn't they? Against Final Testament next week.
Final Testament, that's their name?
Yeah, that's Final Testament, right? Yeah, it's Final Testament. Okay. So the last thing we need to talk about, the other big news here, was that we officially got Bron Breakker's
Double B
SmackDown announcement. He is officially signed over to the Blue brand. But here's the thing, though. This past Tuesday for my NXT post show, we were just talking about Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin winning the NXT tag team titles. But we all knew that at some point, like, Bron Breakker was going to be called up, because this has been like weeks in the making where they've been teasing this. And so it finally happened. So what does this necessarily mean? Is he going to be on both shows? Is he bringing Baron Corbin up with him? What's the solution here? Because I'm not really too sure.
I don't know why they're doing this dumb. They win the championship and then they immediately called up. It's like, just call them up, dude. Well, now you got to cover some ground and you're going to have to either vacate the championships or beat a main roster guy with an NXT guy. And that doesn't even, you're being counterproductive to all this, you freaking losers. But I did like the backstage segment that they had with Aldis and Jade and Braun and Tiffany and Bianca. Seeing Jade, she looked great. Anytime she's in a room with Bianca, I'm like 100% in. But yeah, I think it is great that they have finally called Bron Breakker up to the main roster, because it's been his time, right, Denise? It's been time to leave NXT, and I think he's going to do very well up there. It's just like, why did they do this NXT championship thing? It's always so weird.
That happened to so many people. That happened to Indy Hartwell. That happened to Isla and Alba Fire when they were tag team champions. Yep. Sure, it happened to somebody else that I forgot about. But yeah, also, there was another segment that I did want to talk about that I completely forgot to mention right now. And that was the Drew McIntyre, LA Knight backstage segment. Yeah. Where LA Knight called him an old timer, but Drew McIntyre is 38 years old and LA Knight is 41. Yeah. Reg, they need to not do that to LA Knight. They can't have him. Like, I don't know if he's scripted or like how scripted is he, or is he like given bullet points, or if he's scripted to a T?
If he's scripted, he had to be like, dudes, I'm older than him. There's no way he thinks that Drew McIntyre is older than him. No way in the world.
But what I'm saying is, whoever's writing that needs to not do that to LA Knight, because you leave him open to make him, like, you know, look dumb. Like, you can't be calling someone old timer when you're older than them. Yes. And it's funny because when he said that, I'm like, I went online and I Googled. I'm like, let me Google their ages. And I'm like, I Googled LA Knight first, 41. Okay. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be really funny if Drew McIntyre is younger. Lo and behold, I Googled Drew McIntyre and bam, it's 38 years old. And so,
it's a bit. And it has to be funny.
But what do you get out of it? What do you get out of it if you're LA Knight?
It's a bit on LA Knight. Somebody was like, oh, okay, say this. Because, okay, like, why would you say that?
Right, it's embarrassing. I'm like, don't do that to him. You're gonna now open Drew's him up gonna for criticism.
Have, now next Drew promo, he could be like, "Fool, you're old. What do you mean I'm an old timer?"
He already tweeted it. Did you see his tweet?
Oh, I didn't. Oh,
so shit. He literally was like, Drew McIntyre was sitting right next to me because we had the same exact thought. He literally posted their Wikipedia pages, like their little box with the bio and the ages, and then he put old timer in quotations and put the picture side by side. I'm like, you guys are leaving LA Knight open to be made fun of, to be the butt of the joke, and he's supposed to be the cool guy.
The Beastie Boys had a song, I think it came out in 1996, maybe. It was called Sabotage. That's exactly what this is. They've been trying to get the heat off of LA Knight for so long, and I think what it is, they're like, we got to burn this guy down. If we just start having everybody call him old, nobody will like him anymore.
God, but yeah, anyways, that was the
And when I tweeted that. This, people were on my ass. I said, the WWE's never going to make this guy the main event of the show. I tweeted, LA Knight in 40 years. I'm like, I like this guy. I think he's great, but he's 40 years old, you guys. It's weird because there's a lot of older guys up there, but like investing in the future, they're not going to invest this future in this 40-year-old guy. Now it's a bit.
Right. Oh my God. But it's like, how? Because he's like,
and he's not even old.
I know, because like, I mean, he's only a couple of years older than Drew McIntyre, right? And like, when we were talking about that fatal four-way match, remember that fatal four-way match that we were talking about where they were all up there in age, but it's like, God, I don't know. But it's like, you can't do that to him when you have him coming out there. He's wearing his cool shoes and his leather pants and, you know.
Come on, man.
OG Reg calling someone old is wild.
Come on, man. Why you got to do me like this, Richard? I'm just trying to have a nice Friday night. Feel good about myself.
You're going to be tomorrow. You're going to be getting Botox, looking up at
straight
your
up.
Eyes.
I'm going to come up on a show like this. What's up, Denise?
You're not even going to be able to move your face. Hey, Reg, well, I'm planning on getting Botox in a couple of years, so maybe you can come with me and we can both
Denise,
get Botox.
I don't
Botox.
Know if you can say that on camera. You're supposed to keep that a secret.
I don't care. If the day comes that I do decide to get Botox, I'm not going to hide from that. Like, I will let people know Botox.
We're
going
to be able to see you because you're on camera every damn day.
So I'm going to be going from, like, you're going to see all these wrinkles to all of a sudden, like, So this is what I thought about SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was great.
You live in LA too. I know you know a bomb ass place to go to.
Do you guys know about Botox parties?
See, this is just
okay. I'm curious. Does the chat here know about Botox parties?
We're losing all the recipes, you guys. Botox parties. This is the thing.
Yes. So if you go to a Botox party, they're going literally to a party just like.
Going to a party where everybody's essentially shooting needles into everybody's faces.
Yes.
Sounds crazy.
Yes. They literally have people there. They're like people that are like legitimate, but you go to the party and you tell them like, oh, I want Botox wherever part of the face you are. And bam, poke you with the needle. They do their job. That's it. You go and you eat some Cheetos. I'm not kidding you. This is the thing. Do you know how many people that I know that have gotten Botox?
Then you go and eat some Cheetos. Is that funny?
Yes, but it's true. It's a Botox party.
This is the dick world.
I'm hoping I get invited to one soon, okay? I heard this from a friend. My friend went to a Botox party. She wasn't even planning on getting Botox. She was just there. And they were like, no, give her the Botox. Give her the Botox. So she got Botox on her forehead, and her forehead looks amazing.
Peer pressured into Botox?
Yes, she did. She wasn't there. Like, she was there to get a girl, because my friend is a makeup artist. She was there to do her makeup, and the friend told her, stay at the party. So she decided to stay at the party. She had nothing else to do, so they were like, okay, stay at the party. And so she stayed at the Botox party, and they gave her, like, Botox on her forehead. And her forehead looks amazing. And I looked at her forehead, and I looked at mine, and I was like, oh, hells no, I got wrinkles here.
Is everybody else listening to this, and this sounds normal? Like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, then this doesn't sound like the craziest thing you ever heard. I'm going to go to a party, and we're going to shoot needles together. You're like, oh, what kind of party are you going to? What the hell is this? That does sound like an LA-ass party, though, Denise.
Yes. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is not a big deal here in California.
It's not a big deal, no. Honestly, yeah.
So I go to get facials constantly, right? They're just facials. They clean your face, whatever, right? Every time I'm there, because in this place, they do a bunch of other stuff. They do all of these things that I've never even heard of. Like, there's so much shit going on in the beauty space. But every time I go, I always hear another woman going, oh, my appointment for my Botox. My Botox? I'm here to get Botox? While I'm waiting in the lobby, I'm listening to all of this. And I have people that are like, I hear people saying all of the things they're going to get. And I look at the brochures and I'm like, oh, I'm next. I like the brochures. You see the before and after pictures? And it's like, how can you not? I'm in. I'm planning on it.
At least you've really been thinking about this.
I've been considering it. Yes, because this is what they say. They say that you should get the Botox before you get the wrinkles so that you prolong them from coming in.
What happened to our society?
We want to stay young and beautiful and look like Jennifer Lopez. That's what happens.
I like wrinkles, old ladies. So if there's some old ladies out there with wrinkles, keep them.
No, I make sure to like not move my face sometimes just to not get wrinkles. Because I know every wrinkle that I have on my face, I know what caused it.
This is...
study your wrinkles, people. Trust me. All right, let's see what we got here. We got some super chats here. They're all going to my Botox deposit and to your Botox deposit. That's when you know I'm making real money. Once my face stops moving.
This is terrible.
Joe Compton says AOP did their jobs. They made the jobbers look weak. That pretty much sums up the AOP segment. Joe Compton, consider yourself a third host here, man.
You got it. Did our job for us. That was it.
Yes, Boy says getting slapped by a director of the board is crazy. Cody needs to go talk to HR. Have y'all had to go talk to HR? No comment.
Yeah, no comment also.
I worked in the ghetto. So yeah, I had to go talk to HR.
Facts.
A few times, actually. People be crazy in the work field.
I'm telling you. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I did have to talk to HR a few times when I worked at Sunglass Hut.
Me when I worked at Coach Factory.
Ooh, you definitely talked to HR over there. You've been in the trenches, Denise.
Things have happened to me. Things have happened to me. Have you heard of Coach Factory?
Yes.
In the Citadel?
Yeah.
The worst. My first three jobs were at the Citadel.
I wouldn't wear this hat over there.
Nope. Do not go to the Citadel. I know there's people here right now that know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, no. Don't go to the Citadel.
Absolutely
And don't work at the Citadel. Things will happen to you.
Yeah, bad.
Will Chisholm says, so y'all think Jade is going to be in the chamber match? I hope not, because she can't get pinned. And we know Becky is winning it. I'm not expecting Jade to be in the chamber match.
I don't think so. I think they would have announced it by then. I think they're still going to continue this tease thing to get past Elimination Chamber.
Johnny says, I know about soul food parties.
Yeah, where are those at?
I don't know. I'll let you know once I get my invite for my Botox party.
Ridiculous. No, I don't want to know about that.
And, you know, I could technically host it myself.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You're going to get an invite, Reg.
No, don't send me an invite, please.
Ryan, and I'm going to live stream it too.
No, you're not.
Ryan Lambert says, money for Denise's Botox party and Reg hot box party.
See, now we're talking. What's That's the kind box of box party? I want to be in. A pot box party.
Yeah, what's a hot box party?
Get the box hot. There's smoke everywhere. You're stuck in there. So okay. Sheltered, Denise. Jeez,
no one's invited me to a hot box party.
She knows about Botox, but not weed, you guys. This is where we are as a society.
Reg, I've never smoked weed. Why would I know what a hot box party is?
Yeah. I guess you're right.
I like no idea. The experience and ignorance show says, Denise, don't do that shit to yourself.
Denise, listen to our supporters.
Don't worry. I'm going to be like this person.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All right. Well, that's it for today's show, guys. We talked about SmackDown. We covered our Botox bases. Reg, before we go, next week, of course, the new slate of shows will continue on. Tuesday, I'll be here to talk about NXT. Wednesday, Reg and I will be here to talk about AEW Dynamite. And I think I'm going to be here for SmackDown. I don't think so. But if I'm waking up at 2 a.m. Yeah, I'm not going to be here for SmackDown next week because I got to wake up early to watch Elimination Chamber, so don't hate me. I don't think I'll be doing a watch along because no one is going to be awake. So I'll probably be tweeting and get like 2 likes on Twitter. So I'll do that just to stay up. And then, that'll be the slate for next week's show. So just a little bit different. But Reg, what do you have going on? Anything you want to plug?
Catch me tomorrow on the flagship show. I'll be up at 9 a.m. Grab City Podcast with Philip Lindsay. If you happen to be in California, Southern California, I'm going to be calling a wrestling match this Sunday, UGWA Wrestling at the Emporium in San Francisco. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm always here with Denise. Somebody in the chat said we need more California Connection shows. Maybe we'll film some things coming up because we do need more California Connection shows, I feel.
I definitely agree. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Please do not forget to check out all of the other content that is here up on the channel, and we'll catch you guys next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.